Thanks for coming to attend our session. Just to kind of assess the audience and see what you guys are interested in. We want to make this really interactive. Feel free to raise your hand if you have a question. Stop us, and we'll be happy to chat with it. Did anybody see Tom and I present at the Amazing User Experiences session yesterday? Okay, awesome, because everything you'll see today is brand new. So that's really good. How many people here are Link application developers? Nobody. Perfect, because this is the Link application development session for non-developers. We had to throw a couple people out yesterday because they were developers. It was kind of messy. So without further ado, we'll kind of get into this. It's a session that we've put together to highlight what's possible on the Link platform and API, but we want to make it really interactive and show you a lot of demos because, let's face it, that's what we all want to see. And you don't want to stand here and listen to us talk to a bunch of slide deck. We do have a couple slides at first just to set the scene and the context, but we'll quickly get into demos. We have 8 demos of things we've built on Link. I should introduce myself first, sorry. I'm John Lamb from Modality Systems. I'm the co-founder of Modality Systems, and we're a global support, consulting, and software development partner. We focus 100% on Microsoft Link. We've been doing it for 7 years, all the way back to when it was called Microsoft LCS. And we're really passionate about this space, and I think you'll see why as we go through our presentation. I'm joined on stage by Tom Morgan, who's one of our software developers over from the UK. And we'll be working on this together. Just the clicker's over here. So I've already introduced the session topic. So let's talk about what is communications-enabled business processes. What are the 3 different kinds of main categories of applications? And we've segmented this along the different Link APIs, so it kind of gives you a flavor. We'll show you demos along the way. And then at the end, we'll have one demo that kind of brings it all together to show a great end-to-end scenario. And then talk about what's possible, what's on the roadmap. There's been some announcements in the keynote yesterday that talk about some of the things that are coming down the pipe from a development perspective. So one of the things I didn't mention was prior to setting up Modality, I actually worked for Microsoft in the product group. And this goes all the way back to when what is now the Microsoft UC division that produces Link was called the Microsoft RTC division, Real-Time Communications. And it was a subset of the Windows networking group. And our whole job was basically to go out and build plumbing for other groups like Exchange to ride on top of. We were protocol stacks and APIs. And there was a business review that our group had. We were a really small team. I wasn't in the meeting, but because I was, a Minion developer back then. But my manager attended it, and Bill Gates was in the room, and he said, what is the HTTP of communications? What is the thing that we're going to build that's going to let people build on top of it and create, we know and love the web today as this place where anybody can go build an application that's reachable by anywhere. Back then, telephone networks were very proprietary, very closed, and anything that even looked like an API had a name like JTAPI or something that enabled some basic call control or screen pops or something like that. It was really hard to build that out. And so we came up with the answer that it was going to be SIP, and SIP-based communications would be really important because you can start off with a SIP stack, put an API on top of it, enable things like instant messaging and presence, enable things like audio, enable things like video, and you can bring these different modalities into the equation, but you have that kind of core platform. And that's kind of progressed all the way to, I think, VoiceCon in 2010 was really a seminal moment for Microsoft UC. I call it the taking off the gloves moment when Microsoft came out and said, this is a credible replacement for your PBX. This is something you can run your business on. And Gurdeep, who's now back, we saw at the keynote yesterday, said, UC will be a success when it's like salt and food. It's always there, but you don't see it. And it's kind of like the best way to illustrate that is the contact list that we have in Link is really a vestige of your buddy list from the days of consumer IM. I do have people in my contact list, my team, my family, my friends, but most of the time in a big organization especially, the people who I interact with are just people who can help me get my job done. They're not my buddies. They might be nice people, but I need to interact with them for a short period of time, and then move on, and I don't need to be tracking their presence on an ongoing basis. So how do we, a great way to kind of illustrate this concept of salt and food is surfacing presence within your payroll application, where somebody has a question about their pay stub. We might show the list of people who can help with that payroll query, show their presence, or we might even abstract that and just have a bot that's called Payroll Help, representing a service desk, and then that bot aggregates the presence of people who could help us out, right? So thanks for joining. So that's kind of where it all started from, and the important thing here is that we always thought of Microsoft UC platform as a platform. It was always something that you were going to build upon, and that's something we've always believed in, and that that really comes down to communications-enabled business processes and what you can build on Link to embed it into line of business applications, to embed it into workflows, and do some really, really innovative stuff with it. Really, when I talk to customers about this, we kind of start off saying that organizations are really made up of three things. We have people in the organizations who are creative, intelligent, smart, and do all this incredible stuff. We have things within our organizations, systems and devices and manufacturing equipment and trucks and bulldozers and whatever else it is we have. And we have processes. And those three things come together to produce the output of the organization, and whether that output is, you know, charitable, whether it's, revenue driving. All these things need to come together. And process is often kind of a dirty word, but really, when you think about it, you need it. There's things in an organization where you have process, and then you have practice. And process is something that you want to be highly repeatable, that you don't want mistakes in. You don't want to have to reinvent the wheel every time you run payroll or, receive something from a supplier in your supply chain. That really does need to be a structured thing, but then what most of the time, you could just run your business on a computer and have no employees if it was that simple. You have the practice, and that's what everybody else is doing. And it's kind of represented here by that very structured symphonic orchestra versus the kind of jazz or improvisational style. And by the way, this picture is really cool. It's Jimi Hendrix playing backup guitar for Wilson Pickett about a year before Jimi Hendrix really broke through and was somebody that you would know. So I like that one. But this is where CEBP comes into play. It's that bridge between process and practice. So what happens when we need to handle an exception in something that's gone wrong? Can we surface the presence of somebody who can interact and help with us right now? And the problem that we have in business today is the inbox becomes the catch-all for that. If you get an automated mail that pops out of a system that says there's been an error or something like that, it becomes this inbox everything approach. And you come back from lunch, you have 20 messages, and the first ones that you're going to immediately ignore are these ones from these various systems or things that have gone wrong, right? And the reality is that's not a good use of anybody's time. If you fired that email to 10 people, you've wasted 9 people's time having to read it and think about whether they need to interact with it, and then you have to follow up with everybody to make sure that it's been handled, you can now ignore it. And so if we build this on RTC, on real-time communications, we get to the person who's best available to handle that query or that issue at that time. And that's what we'll kind of show you and how you can really leverage presence to drive a lot of that. So at this point, I'm going to hand over to Tom to talk about these three areas of development that we focus on.
Okay, thanks. So my name's Tom, and I'm a software developer with Modality based in the UK. So the world of Link development can broadly be split into these three areas. And really, a kind of a quick way of thinking about them is people talking to people, computers talking to people, and people talking to computers. So enhancing communications, taking the existing conversations between people, and adding new things to them, enhancing them to make them more, the closed conversations, more productive, more natural. Computers talking to people, to really drive business processes. And the final one, people talking to computers, taking your customers and really bringing them into your current business process. So for each of these, we've got some ideas We've got some scenarios we're going to share with you, and we've got some demos. And the idea is that in each of the demos, there's something for you to take away and either play with and have a look at, or and just kind of get involved with. So I don't want to spend too long on the slides. I kind of want to get into the demos. So I'm kind of going to give you those as the kind of three areas of development. So Microsoft have got tools to target each of these areas. And this is a kind of non-technical session. So I don't want to spend ages talking about them. In fact, I'm going to show you them and that's it. I just want to let you know that if you may well know those acronyms or recognize them. If not, it doesn't really matter. The point I'm trying to make is that Microsoft have developed tools for developers to meet each of these three areas. Okay. So let's look first at enhancing communications. What do I mean by that? Well, there's two ways you can approach this. So you can take your existing applications that you already have, your line of business applications, and you can add link into them. So Microsoft allow you to do that. An example might be taking your contacts that you have in an internal CRM system and connecting them to link so that you get the presence, you get the photos and the contact information. And that's a really easy way of bringing link into the applications that you've already got. The other way is to turn it on its head. Do it the other way around. Bring your business processes into link. So in the link client, the standard desktop link client, you can open a window out the side and you can put your own content into that window. So you can present it to the user alongside conversations, calls, whatever else it is. So you're bringing that business context into the conversation. So that drives some kind of interesting scenarios. So integration with existing libraries, we've already talked about. So any kind of Windows application that you've got, you can add this, you can kind of linkify it, if you like, by adding this information into. One kind of example might be if you had a school and a receptionist and somebody calling into the school. So we could take the number. We could have a Windows application running with the receptionist. So as the number comes in, it's looked up with some back-end database somewhere. So as the receptionist answers the phone, they know straight away that the person calling is the parent of a child in the third grade who hasn't been to school for a week. Yeah? So they immediately get that context of the business in with the communication of the call that's coming in. Another example might be if you're a firm of solicitors and it's important that you bill by time. So you could have an application that watches your link activity, and as you complete a phone call, just pop something up that says, that call that you just had, was that a client call? Is it on a project? Should we bill it? You know, choose the project, we'll bill it there. And that's, you know, so it's really kind of making those kind of interactions easy. And it kind of allows you to add these extra eyes and ears into link, if you like. So that's something I want to show you with a demo. So we have a demo to show you. So it's a kind of an example of how we've enhanced link, really, to solve a common problem. All right, cool. So John's just going to send me an IM in a moment. And whilst he does, I'll just kind of fill. So Supertoast is a Windows application that kind of just runs on the client machine, runs down in the taskbar here, kind of sits there. And what it does is it kind of just watches incoming IMs. Excellent. Right. So you'll be familiar with this, I'm sure. Yep. You'll also kind of probably be familiar with the fact that that stays on the screen for about 30 seconds. Yeah. And if you're not looking at your screen, you may miss it. Yeah. And if you do miss it, it kind of goes down here somewhere. But then it's not obvious. Yeah. And it's kind of easy to miss. And if that was a really important instant message or a really important call or anything like that, I may not see it for a while. Yeah. So what Supertoast does is puts it firmly front and center, okay, right in the middle of the screen. So there's no way I can miss that now. Yep. And that will be there until I come and click on it to bring back the meeting, to bring back the message, sorry. Okay. So
it's called Supertoast because we think of this as a piece of toast popping up. And then you have the Supertoast, which stays on the screen until you acknowledge it.
So I don't know if you saw it. It's also customizable. So I gave it a nice conference branding, but you can do whatever you want. You can make it really, like I make mine really kind of disgusting, so I never miss it, right? So make it as horrible as you like, really. But and there's some other kind of sort of configuration options for changing the delay, using AV calls and things like that. And it can, those kind of settings can be locked down and rolled out if you're rolling out across the enterprise as well. The other great thing about it is that you can download it for free. So it comes in two versions, a free version and a pro version. So if you want to have a play with it, like, if you remember I said a couple of minutes ago, we want to try and give you something for every area. So if you want to try it and play with it, you can download it from the Modality website, Modality Systems website, and have a play with it.
It was really interesting when we developed Supertoast. We kind of got the request from one customer, and then another customer, and we're actually thinking internally, this is a big issue. I miss IMs. Everybody misses IMs, and when we developed it, gave it away for free, and really didn't think much about it. And the impact it's had, and the number of people who swear and live and die by Supertoast, was really apparent to us when 2013 came out with the tabbed conversation view, and our old version didn't work anymore. And the amount of screaming, from customers like, "You have to update Supertoast. I can't live without it." It was really kind of heartwarming in a way. We were like, "Wow, I didn't know this was so important." So, the new V2 version works with both 2010 and 2013. And I think some of the it looks very, very simple, and it is from a user perspective, but some of the great work that the development team has done is making sure that it doesn't prompt you when you have seen an IM, but it does prompt you when you haven't seen it. And there's actually quite a lot of logic in the background that determines whether the IM window has ever been in the forefront of your screen, and et cetera. So especially in the tabbed conversation view. Yeah, question.
Unless you get, so at the moment it's everybody. And of course, if you get there first, that's kind of different. Yeah, if you get there first, it won't ever show. So I have mine set to the delay for like half an hour because I'm kind of normally at my computer all the time, right? So if I've missed it for half an hour, I've really properly missed it. Yeah, so yeah, absolutely.
But that's a good question. And the question I'll repeat, just because I think they are recording the sessions, is Supertoast set up to prompt on every IM? Or just specific users. So as Tom said, it'll prompt only on IMs you've actually missed. If you ever click on a toaster, bring the window to the forefront, we know you've seen it and don't prompt. Some customers have asked for it to only prompt on specific users, so we've done that as a custom development project for those customers.
Cool, thanks. So there's another class of applications, if you like, in this area, which is full screen applications. And it's slightly different because what you do is you replace the link client with your own user interface. Yeah. So they're good for full screen applications. And they're perfect for customer scenarios. Yeah, where you've got kiosks, unattended receptions, things like that. So we use one of these within Modality because the development team is located sort of 2 hours away from the main office, the main headquarters. So what we have is a large TV screen, a large screen, and a camera in each office. And we wrote a full screen application which automatically answers video calls and throws them up on the screen. And we use that as almost like a portal between the two offices. Yep. So we don't use it we don't have meetings that way, but we just have it on all the time. And it really kind of closes the gap between the offices, just being able to sort of look over as if you're looking through the window to see the other office. We kind of wrote it for ourselves and thought it was really good. So we put the code up for free. It's on GitHub. You can go and try it. You can go and get it for yourself. It's at linkautoanswer.com. So we have a full screen application to
just
show
you.
Just
beware of the privacy implications of a screen that auto answers a video call, is all I'll say.
Yeah, don't try it at home. Don't have it at home. Okay, cool. So
that was also, we did that in conjunction with Scott Hanselman. So if you're familiar, he's a Microsoft developer evangelist. So if you search for Link Auto Answer or check his blog, that information's up there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We have a demo to show you of this, if I...
So this was a really interesting project that we did. I'll bring it up so you can see it while I'm talking about it. It's running in a VM because, as you can see, it really is a full screen application. We developed it for that for a tablet UI. So although you can see the sort of bars above and below, that's actually on a tablet. It would be running in full screen mode and take over the whole screen. There's a company called CTS Language Link. They're based in Vancouver, Washington, just north of Portland, Oregon. 25-year-old company, really great kind of market for interpretation services. So you call them up, a human interpreter answers the phone, and you have somebody who speaks and does live interpretation over the phone, so you could have a conference call with an interpreter on it. And they wanted to get into video, and so we had a kind of mutual contact put us in touch. They'd never heard of Link, and for me, you know, all we do is Link. So, as Ben Franklin said, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So I went down and basically sold them on building a cloud-based Link infrastructure with the ability to provide this custom UI that would connect an end user to a video-based interpreter remotely. And it was really fascinating because it hit home for me how much incredible infrastructure Link gives you for free. If you really think about it, you have the ability to permeate firewalls, you have remote access, you have audio video capabilities, the edge server, you know, it's almost this like sort of magical thing that just gets video and audio calls connected and you don't really worry about it. And if they had gone off and tried to build something proprietary or used any other vendor system, it would have been prohibitively expensive. But by building a Link infrastructure, got all this great plumbing, and all we had to do is really come up with the business logic and the UI. So all of a sudden the price and the sort of complexity of the project was dropped by a tenfold factor. Because they weren't into business. Most of the time we engage customers who want Link, and they just wanted a solution, and Link ended up being a great solution for them. There's been a lot of additional benefits for them. Now their interpreters, even on the telephonic side, they can hire them in much more far-flung and remote locations, because even on the telephonic side they're using Link. But in this case, we built this custom UI for them, and it was an interesting business model. They give it away to hospitals, and the doctor and patient are in the same room but don't speak the same language. So the remote bit of it is only the interpreter. Instead of the hospital having to hire an interpreter for each language to sit there on site, they can now bring them in through a video call. And it's like a kind of a Gillette razors and blades model. They give these tablets away to hospitals. Their HP device is running Windows 7 or Windows 8. The Link client is actually running in the background, but in what's called UI suppression mode, and then we rewrite the Link UI. The best way to explain this is I call it Link with big buttons. So all of the features and functionality of Link are there, but we streamline the interface just to what the user actually needs, so they don't have to fiddle with like adding a contact or whatever it might be. We're going to see if this works. I think you said it best yesterday, had several sacrifices to the demo gods. This will, if it works, actually connect back to the live CTS Language Link service, and we're going to bring an interpreter in. There's always a chance that they're actually busy with real customers and they won't answer our calls. So let's see what happens. So it's not going to work. I'm not sure exactly what's happening here. It doesn't look like they were busy, because otherwise it would then route us to their actual telephone call center bridge if all their video interpreters were busy. So we always get at least an audio connection, but there seems to be something going on here. You can see the bot, that the response that came back was really, really quick. It was actually the bot responding, so the interpreter didn't have to type that. So you can build a lot of kind of logic in here. But suffice to say, if this was really working, we would be in a video call with somebody who speaks Spanish and would be interpreting what I'm saying on the fly. By the way, don't ever call that person a translator. They're interpreters. Translators are people who do it offline and not in real time, and they get really offended when you say that. The other thing that was really interesting for CTS, I'll just add, is that it enabled them to add a service that they'd never had before, which is American Sign Language. Apparently, it doesn't work very well over the phone, but video does just fine. So that was an example of an application that is Link running again in UI suppression mode, where you can just completely customize and change the interface. We're also doing this for a hospital group in the Colorado area. to basically streamline a workflow between a nurse and a pharmacist in a telepharmacy scenario. And we could do camera switching, so we can do visual ID over video and then switch cameras to a document camera, so slide the prescription under, and then the patient who's remote just goes to the local pharmacy to get the prescription filled.
Cool. All right, so let's talk about the next class of applications then, which is the reducing human latency. Well, it's harder to visualize this, but it's definitely the most powerful of the kind of three types, I think. Imagine it like a server that runs in the back end but can do link things, right? It's like a link bot, really, yeah? So what sort of things? Well, can impersonate people, can send messages on their behalf. It can join conferences invisibly, so you don't see it, but then just chuck other people out. And it can monitor people's presence and be doing that all the time and take action based on their presence. You can also, because it's a back-end service, it just runs on like as a Windows service, right? So you can have it talk to back-end, other back-end systems and look at external data. And that drives some really interesting ideas. So we've got some scenarios here, but this is definitely one of those areas where it's really exciting to hear. As you think about it, you kind of start to come up with your own ideas as well. Just having a service and an application running in the back end on your back end servers that can connect to Link and can get involved with Link. But some of the things we've thought of, an IVR system. So a customer can call in and type in their order number using the keypad. Look at the application can look up those details and just read them back to the customer without needing to kind of talk to anyone. Or the same thing, but the other way around for outbound surveys, right? So load testing is an interesting idea. So you could have lots of small applications running on Link, all making audio-video calls to each other to try and test out the resiliency of the network. And there's a really good Microsoft example online that does real-time translation. So if I wanted to talk to John, but John speaks French and I don't speak French, I can talk to the bot and say I'd like to talk to John. The bot will translate it into French and send it to John. John will reply in French back to the bot, which translates it into English and sends it back. Okay. That's all done using the Bing API as well, the version online. So that's definitely worth a look. So we've got three demos to show you here. Because there's loads of different things you can do, so we just want to kind of show you three things you can do. Okay, so the first one is TrainMe, right? So TrainMe is a training delivery application, because delivering training's hard, right? Because you have to get people when they're available.
Got the right thing. Yeah. This was really interesting. One of the things we do in addition to application development is we consult on the design and deployment of Link infrastructure systems. And we were working with a global pharmaceutical company and rolling out, you know, it's kind of small. It's about 82,000 seat deployment of Link Enterprise Voice. And so we had this really big challenge is that about between 1,000 and 1,200 users per week were coming in. And on a Monday morning, and they didn't have a desk phone anymore. They had a headset. And a lot of them were freaking out. I think that's the technical term. We had a user adoption and training problem. We'd created training. We'd put the videos from the Microsoft adoption kit up on a website, but nobody was really looking at it. So we said, how do we delegate this to a system that won't be fatigued by having to deliver all of this training, and a human solution wasn't exactly the right approach there. So we developed a bot called TrainMe, and what it did, you saw it pop up. I don't know if you want
I'll
to
do it again.
Do it again.
Because it should probably as I become available. Yeah.
Okay. The first time somebody signs into Link, it's watching for their presence to come online, and it sends them an IM and says, "Welcome to Link. This message over here is customizable. Would you like to take some training?" And what you notice here is that application or conversation window extension, CWE is what it's called in the API, pops out automatically. The user didn't have to do anything. All they had to do was accept the IM saying, "Welcome to Link." And it presents them with some options for training. And so what we did is we didn't have these different training bundles. We just have the Link training pop up immediately. And if you click into there, you'll see there's some training videos. Now, these are the videos that Microsoft gives you to deploy to your users to watch. So we'll just kind of load one up, and you can make it full screen and adjust the volume and all that kind of stuff. And it's just streaming content. It could be anything, really. But a couple interesting things happened. It was an experiment. We didn't know if it would work or not. It worked really, really well. This company said that it was the fastest user adoption that they'd ever had on a new IT project rollout. And it wasn't just across basic adoption. We had users doing audio and video and desktop sharing and setting up meetings. And the quicker you get users using Link, the quicker you can do things like realize the ROI cost savings of Link. You can cancel those WebEx accounts. You can move off of your really expensive third-party hosted conference call bridge. And it was so successful that they came back and said, we need the ability to manage and upload different kinds of content. So we created this idea of the training bundles, so you can have HR training and security training, whatever it might be, for different groups. And you can target different groups of users. There's something subtle here that's happening that's really important. One is we're using presence to target the users so we know when they're available. We're not sending them an email that they're going to get after they come back from lunch and they have 10 other urgent things to do. We're going to hit them right when they come online and presumably before they get entrenched in something else. The other thing is we're engaging them, right? Even though it's a bot, there's this sense that we're having a conversation and that drives user engagement. And then we're showing them how to use Link within Link in that case, and it really provides some reinforcement behind the training. And so this has been really successful. We have this both cloud-hosted and available as an on-premise solution. So on the cloud version, if you go to linkme.net, you can sign up for a trial start using it and trying it out. There's a couple variations on a theme as well that we're going to go through. As soon as we did, you can jump into alert me. As soon as we did this, regional sales exec says, this is really cool. I don't want to send out training. I want to send out a video to people. Well, it's a slightly different class of problems. So we created something called Alert Me, which gives you the ability to send out alerts. It's that same thing. Hit the users when they're available. They get a targeted alert. And there's some interesting additional features in Alert Me. It don't make so much sense for the training side. Like, we can put an acknowledgement button. We can make an alert urgent, so it breaks through even if you're in a call or on the phone. Non-urgent alerts wait for your presence to turn green. What is that? Teddy bears.
Yeah, product recall of a teddy bear. Oh. You've cool. seen it. Yeah.
I haven't seen that one before. But creating these alerts is very, very simple. And one thing I didn't show you on Train Me, is the reports as well. So we can track who's received it, who's looked at it, who's acknowledged it. In the case of the videos, we actually log out what percentage of each video you watched. So we can crank up that nagging effect if you're not watching or looking at what you were doing. So if it gets more and more stale, we start hammering you with these things until you're so annoyed you just look at it finally. I'm kind of joking, but kind of not. With great power comes great responsibility. You can't over-alert or over-nag somebody, and then it has the opposite effect. So you do want to think about how you're using this. I've just been talking. Did you?
It's fine. That's great. No. You can do that. It's cool.
This kind of runs you through how you set up an alert and the options you can check and the users you can target. In an on-premises deployment, it's just automatically AD integrated. Obviously, in the cloud-hosted scenario, there's a little bit of AD sync that needs to happen. But the way it works in a cloud scenario is we just leverage Federation. Again, that kind of plumbing for free that Link gives you. There's nothing magical that you have to do other than federate to the cloud provider. We run Link and we run the bot in the cloud. So interestingly, it enables you to consume these applications even if you're on something like a third-party hoster or Office 365, because you don't need to deploy the bots into that infrastructure. You deploy it into a separate infrastructure. And then as long as we have communication through Federation, all of this stuff works.
This crate screen is always a good example because you can write the whole application just in Link. It's not like there's another application you need to set up the alerts or anything like that. It's rich enough that you can set everything up in here, and then there's a back-end service that actually, this then talks to the back-end service. The back-end service is then monitoring the presence and throws it back to the user that then uses this pop-out. So it's kind of a good all-round.
And people use this for all kinds of crazy stuff that we never even thought of. Like, the first instance was sending out a video from the sales director saying, great quarter. We'd have customers that say they really like it because when email's down, they need to alert people and they can't use email. We have customers that use it for real critical emergency stuff like the building's on fire, get out, all the way through to you know, just a reminder, hey, your direct report's on vacation next week. Make sure you catch up with them because it's tied into their vacation tracking or holiday tracking system.
Even the pizza guys here. There's one company using it for like the sandwich guys here and the pizza guys here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. Cool. So the next thing we want to show you is a product called Time Prompt. I'm going to let you drive this one.
So this one's one that's quite near and dear to me. We're a consulting company, and if you're familiar with the consulting business model, you really live and die by the billable hour. You need to track it so you know how to invoice your customers. You need to track it so you know how you're doing, and you know you need to basically know what your consultants are up to. And when we started off, we were kind of small, and I was having to run around and beat people over the head because we're doing everything in Excel. Send me your expense report, I mean your time tracking reports and your expense reports. And you know, I was annoying everybody because they're off doing an honest day's work and really, you know, focusing on the core stuff that they love. They don't really love filling in the time and expense reports. So like any good manager, I delegated the problem, and I did even one better than delegating it to another person. I delegated it to a bot. So now the bot goes and chases the consultants for their timesheets. They love me because I'm not the bad guy. They can get mad at the bot. And so what happens is what you're actually seeing now is me logging in more as a manager and noticing that Paul's submitted a time tracking report for approval. But on the consultant side, what would happen if I was a consultant and I hadn't filled in my timesheet by 5 p.m. on Friday, starting about 3:30 p.m. on Friday, the bot's like, hey, do you want to fill in your timesheet? And most of the time, people really want to do it. They've just kind of forgotten or gotten busy. When you accept that I am, it brings you into this view immediately, right? So you're pre-authenticated because we know who you are because you're logged into Link. We reached out to you. We know you're available, and we bring you into the right context at the right time. So filling in your timesheet is really a matter of just clicking through, and this one's not set up with any projects, but I had a row for project and task. I put in the hours under each day, and I hit submit. And it takes about a minute for most of our consultants. Yeah, I mean, give or take, exaggerating. It's probably 5 minutes. But it's really, really simple. And then I get an IM saying, hey, you need to approve these timesheets, right? This is really important. If we do it weekly, then at the end of the month, then the month of reporting is really easy, and we've yet to really have any of those challenges we had before. But the even cooler part of it is now we've showed you how to notify the user when they're available, bring them into the right context. But what happens when we want to collaborate on something? I know that I see that Paul's filled this out, Parkside Mutual, big important client, but oh, wow, I can't approve this because he's assigned it to the wrong task. This is a non-billable task. We need to bill the customer. And so what I could do, and Paul's a real person, but he's in the UK, so he's probably asleep right now, is invite Paul to this conversation. And something really interesting will happen here. He'll join the conversation, and it'll open the conversation window extension on his side. But it's not screen sharing, right? I see the manager view of the timesheet. He sees the consultant view of the timesheet. And as I reject it, basically saying, you know, wrong project code, and then hit yes, reject timesheet, he sees the timesheet unlock. He sees the status change from pending approval to active. He can make the changes. He resubmits. I see it change to pending approval. And I'm just going to cancel that and approve it. And then yes, approve timesheet. And now we both see it turn green. But we're sharing context in this, like, think of it as like a secret IM channel that you can't see. The application's talking to the bot, and the bot's talking to the application, and we're sharing that context across it, all using Link. And it's really a great way to kind of build a collaborative app like that. I can't think of another application platform that gives you all of that kind of service bus and things for free. Now, how does this actually work? This is a Silverlight application running in this conversation window extension window off of IIS, the business logics in C# and SQL on the back end. It took us about 3 weeks to build this app. Did it 3-4 years ago, and you know, it's a great little application for us. By the way, this is something we use internally. It's not really a commercially available thing because we're not in the business of professional services automation or anything like that. But if it is something that's interesting to you, let us know. We show this to people basically to give them an idea of what they could do in their business. Not everybody has a timesheet reporting problem. You have other business problems, and Glink is a great way to kind of solve those.
Cool. All right, cool. So let's talk about the last the last area, is customer self-service. Yeah. So these are kind of predominantly web-based interactions because it's hard to rely on the customer having anything else other than a web page, right? And this is the stuff that's really hot right now, based on the keynote and some of the sessions. Okay. The technology for this, UCWA, is Microsoft's newest tool, and it's still growing in what it can do and its capability. But it's definitely something they're working on. You heard the references to J-Link in the keynote. So that's kind of definitely the stuff that's really being worked on at the moment. The great thing about it is it will work on anything, right? It's just internet traffic, yep. So anywhere you can get an internet connection, any device, any platform, this stuff you can make work. So there's kind of loads of different scenarios for this. And again, it's one of those things that after you think about it for a bit, you think, actually, yeah, having Link on in this place over here would actually be really good. Obviously, embedding into web pages is kind of a biggie, but if you've got existing org charts or you've got floor plans, things like that, you can now add presence in with that as well, and click to call, things like that. You could add IM into your existing mobile apps, and those mobile apps don't have to be Link mobile apps, so anything that's got an internet connection, right? So any device, any platform, anywhere. So as a demo, I'm going to show you something which you may have seen, you may not have seen. Microsoft have got a great demo site. It's called, it's at ucy.link.com. I don't know, has anyone seen it? No? Okay, oh, you have. I know you have, yeah.
But, I think it's one of Microsoft's best kept secrets in the Link space. This is a public website that Microsoft put together, and we actually couldn't come up with a better demo than what they have. As you'll see, it kind of walks you through a UCY application, and it shows you the functionality and gives you code snippets. Okay.
So this works bottom. For everybody. I haven't got any kind of special creds to make this work. I'm just going to show you a couple of things it can do. Okay, I'm just going to race through two things. Race through two things if I can get in. The thing to kind of bear in mind here is that I'm going to have to show you client, like two ends, two different things on the same screen. Okay, so let's go full screen and see what's going on. Right. Okay, so first thing I want to show you is just some subscription stuff. So on the left-hand side, we've got Amy's contact card. So I can change her status message, right, and change her presence. So over on the right-hand side, on Fernando's display, yeah, you'll see that updating. It takes a couple of seconds. And the thing you have to remember, you have to kind of pinch yourself, because this looks really obvious, right? This is just Link, right? But you have to kind of pinch yourself and go, all this is running in a website. There's no Link involved here. There's no clients. This will work on your phone, even if it hasn't got a Link client, yeah? It'll work in Unix. It'll work on a Mac, yeah? It's just a web page. Yeah, it's just HTML and JavaScript bits, yeah? So that then becomes really interesting, because now you've got something that can do Link, but you've got it built into a web page. It will also, IM is something you can also do today, along with presence. Yep. And again, you have to imagine though as two separate people talking to each other over a web page. Okay. So that's one really interesting scenario. So UCY as it is today does IM and presence. So there have been some announcements in the keynote around voice and video. So it's not kind of something that's happening at the moment, but it's definitely something that's coming really soon. It's going to be one of those areas to watch, I think. It's going to definitely be something that becomes more and more popular, because we're moving much more onto mobile and lots of different devices, and everybody's on something different, and it's really hard to kind of cater at a client way for everybody.
So, Paul, just to, I'm kind of asking the question for you to validate. UCWA has been available since Link 2013. It's basically what Link Web App is built on, but the new announcement for J-Link is a JavaScript wrapper for UCWA. Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah.
So yeah. It enables, down here, as you're going through these scenarios, the site shows you the code, so you can copy-paste it and build these applications, but the new wrapper will even speed up that development in a pretty significant way.
Cool. All right, so we've got two last demos then that just want to try and bring everything together, everything that you've seen, into end-to-end scenarios. Okay, so this is the Microsoft Store. So imagine for a moment that you're in charge of the Microsoft Store, and we'd like to add a feature. And the feature we'd like to add is allowing customers to chat with sales staff. Okay, so if we had a requirements document, if you like, for this, the things we'd want, first of all, the user only has a web page. Yep, they definitely don't have link. They don't have any special plugins or anything like that. When they ask a question, that question needs to be routed to an agent based on the availability of the agent, but also on the skill. So when they ask the question, that kind of context of where they're asking the question, what they're asking the question about, should move over and be presented to the agent as well. Okay. So the way we can do that, and the way we use all the different technologies to do that, on the left-hand side, the user's just going to be using the web. And that's going to go through to a back-end service. So we have a routing engine called Help Me, which routes customers to agents. And so we're going to be using that to do the routing. And it's going to do that routing on skill and availability. The agent will be shown one of these pop-up windows as they're connected. And that will show them the context in which the question's being asked. Because it's a back-end service, we can also do some reporting as well. Okay. So,
I'm just pointing out that. Is it 5?
Great. Yeah, it's 5. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so this is the store again. Except this time, we've got this Ask an Expert button, right? So clicking on the Ask an Expert button. Now, if you might, I've only got one computer, so I'm playing the agent and the customer, right? So the customer sees a pop-up window, yep. And at the same time, we go and find an agent. So I'm also, okay, so the agent's just gonna say, how can I help? And I'll move it out of the way so you can see so this is what the customer sees in a pop-up window, right? So this is not link, this is just standard pop-up HTML, okay? And the customer, the problem the customer wants to have is that they want to know what's in the demo, in the bundle, right? So they've seen, let's move some of this stuff out of the way. They've seen this advert for the Xbox One, and they want to know what's inside the bundle, which is why they've clicked the button. Yep, so their question really is what's in the bundle, right? Now that's kind of important, and the reason I'm typing it in is to bring you over here to what the agent sees, because that's the sort of thing the customer's going to ask, and it's meaningless without the context. Without the bit on the right-hand side, the agent has to spend 5 minutes working out what the customer wants, what bundle they're interested in. Okay. With the context, they know immediately, right? So that's a really important kind of part of this, is giving the agent the context in which the question's been asked. Okay, so that's great and fine. So, but we can probably improve it. So let's make it more interesting. Because let's say that the customer wants to talk to someone, so they don't want to IM, yep, and they'd like to make a voice call and talk to an agent. Now we know they don't have link, that's fine, but they probably have Skype, so we can use Skype, right? Let's add some more requirements as well. So let's say that the agent should be allowed to accept and decline the call if they don't want to take it. And also, let's say that the agent might be on a mobile device. Now mobile devices are interesting because there's not enough space to show pop-out windows, and you can't do it anyway, right? So all that interaction, so we still have to bring the same context and the same information over to the agent, but we can't use the pop-out window. We have to use IM. So to realize that as a solution then, the customer would call in via Skype, and they'd call in to Help Me as an audio call. Help Me would take that audio call, talk to the user, tell them they're being put on hold, play them some hold music, and then go and find the right agents based on their availability, skill level, anything like that. And then make an instant message, start an instant message call with those agents to see if they're available. If an agent chooses to accept, at that point, it will then make an audio call out to that agent and then connect the two audio calls together so that the customer is now talking to the right agent. Okay, it's kind of an involved demo, and it normally works. So John signed in to Link on his phone.
This is just the Link client on an iPhone.
Cool. And I've got Skype. So I'm going to call. I'm going to make an audio call to the help.
Welcome to Help Me from Medality Systems. We are looking for an agent. Please hold.
So I've received a message on my Link client on the iPhone, and it says, you have a new help desk request from Help Me. The following call is available for acceptance. Would you like to accept this call? All of that shows up in the IM. So I type yes and hit send.
You have been connected to Alicia Devine.
And I get an incoming call. Hi, Tom.
Cool. Yeah, so there's some kind of feedback, but it's a connected call, right? So that's kind of a good overall kind of showing what's possible, right? The different things you can do, the different scenarios, the different way you can kind of join them all together.
Do you want to show our web chat demo site?
So these guys can
demo this yourself.
Yeah, sure.
So if you have customers or you want to take this back and show people in your organization how this would work in a kind of customized way as well. By the way, this is a really interesting demo site that we've put online. Either grab the URL that you see on the screen, or we'll put our email addresses up at the end. We can send you the details. You come in here and you choose a customer that looks like it's in the industry that you want to demo, so do like whatever. Yeah. And then put your Link ID in, okay? And as long as you have Open Federation set up, or you know the ability to federate with linkme.net, this is going to basically work for you. And you put your Skype ID in, it generates a web page that you go to, and it builds basically the website like you saw on the Xbox one. Now, if you click the chat button, it'll open the web chat interface here, and then you're going to get an IM on your Link account and your organization, because it's working through Federation to basically make this demo work. So this is really powerful, because you can just use this, you know, it's great.
Cool.
What was the URL, if they want to just read
it
out?
Yeah, it's kind of a long one. It's apps.linkme.net/webchatclient/configure.aspx. We should make that a bit better, but yeah.
Maybe we create like a simple one with a redirect or something.
Yeah,
just email us.
Kind of new, so yeah.
Is that useful? Interesting?
Cool.
All right, excellent. So just to kind of wrap up, we'll stick around for as long as you want for questions and answers, but go back to the slide.
Oh, sorry.
That's right. The key takeaway here that we like to say is that CEBP is a great way to engage users, and engaging users drives adoption. It's really that simple. Since we started really focusing on the CEBP side of things, as part of our deployment methodology, engaging the business, talking about these scenarios, and building these applications, we see much more increased uptake of Link because we're building things that are actually genuinely useful to the users in the context of their business. Thank you. Any questions? Cool. Yes.
From a developer perspective, one of the issues that I have is trying to persuade customers that they want to actually have a more hot-spaced environment, so they're actually trying to move away from bespoke solutions, and they want to. So they don't want add-ins, they want as clean an environment as possible. How would you?
Yeah, it That's a really good question. The question is really, you know, how do you counter the argument or the objection that moving away from bespoke solutions? And that's a very valid concern, you know, in enterprise customers especially, or any organization. You know, there was a trend probably before there was the proliferation of applications that we have today, where building something bespoke or custom for your users really would be seen as a way to get you competitive business advantage. The downside, as we've seen, of course, although software doesn't rust, is that the people who build it do, you know, and they move on to other roles. And so then you end up with this weird thing that nobody can touch because it might break and we don't know how it works. Whereas if you buy an application from a commercial application vendor, there's an expectation of a roadmap and support and patching and all of those things, and you really are just kind of outsourcing the problem in a way that you don't have to think about it. So I think that's very valid, and I would say don't go build infrastructure. That's kind of the path to ruin. Anything that you build that's like sitting, you know, in your infrastructure that would preclude you from ever upgrading Link is a bad thing. Anything that kind of, you know, I think the best way to do it is by example. Don't go build your own call recording software. Don't go build your own attendant console. Don't go build a call center solution. If you really need like a very big, robust thing, get that from a third party. There's a lot of great people down on the expo floor that are doing that in each of those categories. And then you've got a throat to choke, right, when something goes wrong. And they're going to have some commitment to you in terms of roadmap and ongoing business. What we've been showing is more along the lines of what really CEBP, and I think that is something that's specific to your business process. There's a couple things going on. One, we're only using supported APIs, so these will never be a deployment blocker. You know, Microsoft does deprecate APIs over time, and that's something you want to consider. You know, we're still around, you know, to update it and to make it work in the new environment. That's great. If you're building it yourself, then you need to consider that. But it's not infrastructure, right? It is something that's quite specific to a business process. And we always see that as really a consulting engagement to understand what the customer needs and build to order. So, you know, it's a decision you'll have to make, but you will get something that's quite specific to the problem you're trying to solve and solves it in a way that is often much lower cost and specific than like what a third-party application developer could do. Is that a good answer?
Yeah.
Okay. What is there like a specific example?
I mean, we're just rolling out. Yeah. I'm actually in charge of the rollout from a technical standpoint.
Right.
Client server. I've already written a couple of things to actually try and enhance the user experience. Actually, not built on the SDK as yet. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
There's 100 other system integrators of options out there who can do it probably cheaper, you know, in volume. You know, what I'm trying to do is aggregate myself as a consultant and contractor working for customers. You know, things like, as you say, expert systems that are tailored specifically for the business environment. That could be the kind of thing that you make. Conversation.
Okay, excellent. Okay.
I'm an accountant with third party perspective, but then with call recording and analytics. So we're using the SDK to connect to Link and to add Link as additional UC that's supporting our system. I see many small vendors here coming up. Someone that they could call after and ask for the support and the assurance.
Sure. Well, there's a couple different ways to think about this. One is the train me, alert me, survey me, and help me. Those applications that we showed you, we're effectively the third-party developer, right? That's not a custom solution. You can take that off the shelf, either as hosted or on-premise. We sell that with software assurance and a support contract and all of that. We have very risk-averse organizations running this in a large way, global pharmaceutical, top five accounting firms, monetary regulatory bodies for major major governments, things like that. And so they've kind of assessed that risk and said, this looks like something that's going to solve a problem we have. We'll buy it from Modality. They'll support it and maintain it. So there's that aspect. There's also the, if we were to engage on a custom development project, then and maybe it kind of crosses over if you wanted to build it yourself, I suppose. You have to evaluate a build versus buy decision. The good thing about buying, of course, as well, is not only the support and maintenance aspect, but we're not selling it to you, or another third party's not selling it to you as a work for hire. They're spreading the cost of R&D across multiple customers, so you end up paying a fraction of the cost of building it in most cases. This is a problem that's not specific to Link, is it? So, you could ask this question in any context of software development. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for sticking around. Enjoy the party. We'll be there if you have any other questions.